then you can drop us a TikTok.
Yeah, we back again.
At Kaya on 959.
On the streets.
On the best in African music. On the World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, talk about the best in African music. Right now, our guest certainly brings us the best in African music. And I say a very big welcome to you always, Dr. Sello Galani.
Thank you very much, Nikki. It's always awesome to be with you here on this beautiful show. We've come a long way, 25 years down the line. We're still together to date.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been so amazing having you over the years and celebrating Free Kiba, is what I want to say.
That's right. Yes. We've been celebrating Free Kiba. What a beautiful moment that we got to be known all over the world with this particular song, Pula.
Yes.
And it's raining outside.
Exactly. I think we're going to have to start with that song. But before we go there, you know, I was thinking about you coming and I was thinking about all these years and what you've been doing with the concept, with the shows, with the music. Tell me about the concept and where and how it started, Free Kiba.
Yeah, it started, you see, we were traveling and I was in Washington, D.C. and we were doing the festival called a Festival of American Folk Life that happens between the White House, the Lincoln Memorial. On the right is the Smithsonian and the National Museum, just where Obama was inaugurated. So we were doing this thing, and every nation of the world that walked on that, because that's a big festival in the world, it attracts 4 million people
sure,
in 10 days.
Sure.
So,
before you go on, what were you doing there?
I was performing.
As Sello.
As Sello.
Yes.
Yes. I was performing on one side, and I was also curating the South African African spiritual music that we had on the Afro spiritual sound stage.
Okay.
Yes. So and we were doing all of that, and all people of the world had something unique about them. And I asked myself, what is it that when we come back, we will be able to be distinctly South African, distinctly African? And when I came back home, I found this concept that for me was one of the most beautiful, most sophisticated concept of polyrhythms of among our people in the north, and Kiba music, where my father grew into. He was a leader, and we call him Malokwani, which means the musical director of an ensemble of Kiba music in Ghamaraba. In Limpopo. So, and something other than what we were used to from school just connected with me. It was actually myself, Selaelo Selota, and Makgalane Phoshoko, who's now Dr. Phoshoko. Now, we were now trying to find new sound. And somehow we went into the village. It was actually not a village, it was in the township of Sesheho. And we went to areas where old people were dancing on Sundays. And somehow this connected with me much stronger, yes, right at that time. And because I'm a rhythm person, and because my father was the leader of this, but it was not so much because of that, but because the DNA just popped up.
Yes.
And we connected at that point with his spirituality and so on. So I started doing this concept, and it just resonated so well with my processing in terms of my multiple intelligence in the way I look at music, because all the music that I've written since that time has taken the template from the Kiba music, which is more polyrhythmic, which is more polyphonic, which is more, you know, every line that the backing singers sing, it's a song on its own. Every line that the bassists sing, it's another composition on its own. It can stand on its own as a composition.
Yes.
The guitars, you know, lines are just a composition on you know, on its own. So, like that. So my mind works better that way with dealing with about 4, 5, 6 compositions in one composition.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so so Kiba music became just the space for me to create in and through. So I started writing music where we are now sitting at 350 original compositions since
wow.
that time. Yes.
You mean as Sello?
As me. Yes.
As Sello's Free
Kiba. That's right. That's correct.
That's amazing.
That's a huge catalog.
It's a massive catalog.
Yes.
And also it's a massive catalog because if we think about it, you've released only live albums.
I've released only live albums,
yes,
indeed, because live albums give you the true test of the acid test immediately when you start a song. The way the audience looks at you, they tell you whether you've gotten it right or you've missed it.
Yes.
Immediately, you know, before you even, as you start recording, just the opening song. And look, we're doing this every year, like we're doing this on the 23rd of November this year, just in a couple of weeks. And it happens every year. The first set is totally new songs.
Yes.
And then we get shocked somewhere in the middle of the second song or the third song, and then the audience stand, and I say, but you don't know this song? You have never heard this song?
And they're singing along.
And they sing along. And then, you know, and we always get surprised with the band that we, because some of the songs that you thought were going to move the audience, no. The others that you kind of thought, ah, these are just nice, beautiful, honest songs, and those are the ones that catch fire.
Yes. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, it must be something, because as you said, you with a live thing, it's so direct. Are there not moments where you've looked at albums and thought, oh, there was a point in that one, or is there, as Miles Davis said, there are no mistakes, you know?
There is never a mistake. I mean, for example, you're going to play Pula now. Pula itself, it was a mistake, a beautiful mistake, that post-production, when we started mixing and mastering, I said, no, leave it like that. Because the band, it was one of those songs that we rehearsed on a Monday, and we never came back to it.
Yes.
Up until on a Saturday evening. Just a few minutes before they opened, Slilo says to me, look, man, there is this song and the other one, they sound the same. Can you replace it with something? And I said, okay, we will play Pula.
Yes.
And then the Market Theatre front of house said, sorry, can you clear the stage? We are opening the doors.
Amazing.
And we never had time to check it again.
Yes.
So we went back. We dressed up, nice, perfume, good. Then we come back. We just crashed that other song that we were supposed to play, and we wrote Pula.
Yes.
Now we play the whole show, and it's beautiful. It flows nicely, and we get to that one. And then I start, and I say, Pula. But the truth is that I'm talking to the band to say, hey, we're getting to that song.
We're going
to
play that song.
That song.
Yes.
And then the audience says, Aine, those who know the call. And then I move forward and I say, Yamidupi. And they say, Aine. And I'm listening behind me. The band is quiet. Slilo remembers the song. He starts it slowly. And then there we go. Then Sfiso Makalisa remembers it, and then Jimmy Mkwandi remembers it, Silo Montwedi, may his soul rest in peace, and then he remembers it, then the whole band drops in.
Yes.
Now that space in between, from where I make the call to where the band drops in, it was an honest soul searching moment to say, by the way, what is that song saying?
Yeah, how does it start again?
And then finally, you know, the memory came back. And when we did post-production, I remember one of the sound engineers saying, no, this part, it's a bit quiet. I said, you know what? I believe in true, honest reflection when it comes to issues of emotion and creativity. I said, leave it like that.
Yes.
And then even right at the end, then we have a suspense, and then the cadence drops. And once at Kaya, when the song started playing in 2001, I don't know who it was who was presenting, and actually cut the song there and thought that space was not important. And the desk went red. And they said, sorry, there is that silence before Yana Pula Ye.
Yes, then, I know that one.
Then, da, da. There. I thought, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
And then the desk went red. They said, you're going to start the song from the beginning and play this right.
Yes. But amazing. You know, I love that story because it reminds me so much over the years. You know, I've met, interviewed a couple of artists or bands or whatever, and found out the track that they almost didn't include on the album is the one that made them international.
This is the one.
This is the because immediately when I posted Cello's coming, everybody on social media, Pula, Pula, yes, Pula.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes. I mean, when we did the other day, I was with you here, and we were going to do 12 Jazz, and then when we got there, we did, as I told you, we started with Sekutu, and that, and the energy was good, blah blah blah, and then when we did Pula, the whole normal order and structure of 12 Jazz broke. People left their chairs and they came right on stage. You know? Like, it happened when you were there as well.
Yes.
And then people came all the, and the picture that you actually used for this show is a picture that was taken on that day.
Amazing.
You see. So
And today it rains.
So people just came forward and they started dancing, and I remember there were people from Limpopo who were dancing on my right, and they said, "Limpopo is your country." You know, people were making us I didn't really take note of these ladies who were in the middle. It was a group of ladies that came here. And at the end, then they were very angry with me. They said, "No, how come you play Pula and you don't mention Botswana? We come all the way from Botswana." And at that moment, I thought, oh, there I went, you know, thinking this festival is in South Africa. It's about South Africans. And people came all the way from Botswana. To listen to Pula.
Beautiful.
So from that time on, when I play, I always assume there's somebody from Botswana, and I have to talk about Botswana when I do this song as well.
Yes. Well, I think on that note, we've just got to play the song Pula. There's a whole lot more I want to ask you, especially in relation to what you were speaking about. But definitely, let's hear Pula.
That's right.
Coming up right now on The World Show.
Timeless South African treasures on The World Show with Nikki B.
Pula! Pula! Yamidupi! Coming from the heartlands of the northern province of our country, and most of us in here who come from the heartlands of our country, we're plowing for subsistence is the order of the day. We want to wish all those areas of our country which depend on rain, showers, and not storms of rain, let it fall, let the rain come. Pula, Pula, Pula. Pula, yeah, 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 Pula, yeah,
Yana, Pula, yeah, yeah, Yana, Haina, Yami, Rupi, Haina, Yana, Haina, Haina, hey, Yana, Haina, Pula, Yami, Rupi, Haina, Yana, Pula, Yami, Rupi, Haina, 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 Haina,
Oh, yeah.
No, we couldn't cut it this time.
We couldn't.
Absolutely amazing. I have to ask you something, though, because it's something that I've always wanted to do, ask you, and because people have been asking me, even when I posted that you were coming,
yes.
I got the same question. Please ask Selo why we can't access these albums, because it seems like an album like that. I mean, I always post the songs that are playing. But besides that, an album like that, you release the albums with the gig or preceding, you know, after the gig. And it's almost like you're lucky to get one.
Yeah.
So are there any plans to make some of your past albums available?
That's right. What we've done is we worked like Americans did, you know. Americans recorded a huge body of their music because they don't have minds. They film, they do music.
Yes.
And they kept it. They didn't release it as and when they actually recorded it.
Yes.
They kept it until they had sufficient mass of the body of work, and they dominated the world. When they release this one to the world, that when the world is still lost, you know, they release another one. And then when there was then you fall, you really become big, because there's a reason why copyright law gives you the ownership to the music throughout your life, and then 50 years beyond your
yes,
death.
Yes.
You see, so it tells you that people sometimes don't understand that this is not a business and an enterprise of today. It's a lifelong project, even 50 years beyond your death. And it now there's also an agitation because other jurisdictions in the world are making it up to 75 years post
sure.
your death. So
for your grandchildren's
yes,
grandchildren.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
This is not just about today. So if South Africa is not ready, because South Africa is not ready, I have written a letter to Minister Katin McKenzie, and I've requested to talk to him. Amongst the agenda of things I've requested to discuss with him, this particular matter.
Oh, good.
That South Africa has no digital platform of its own. Look how we suffered during COVID.
Yes.
We suffered during COVID because we had to rely on digital platforms of other countries. And the sad part of it is that before 1994, We had a picture of a country that will be in charge of its own heritage.
Yes, but even in the late 90s,
yes.
there was that big boom about,
yeah.
you know, when all the artists started now recording and releasing. Yeah,
yeah, but we at the moment, we have nothing as a country, and we can't
yes.
be as a country like this.
And we are one of the most musically rich countries.
Musically rich and economically viable country.
Yes.
How come we do not have a digital platform of our own where the rates of work that we put there is determined in terms of our currency? Because
yes.
at the moment, the rates that are put on the digital platforms of the Americas and the you know the West, they are calculated on dollars. And one rand goes 28, 29 times into a dollar. So
yes.
when an American buys or downloads with $1, they don't have the money as low as a rand.
Yes.
To buy your work with for 3 rand or 4 rand, because they don't have a 3 rand and a 4 rand. They have $1, which is already 28, 29 times.
Yes.
Big. So most of the digital downloads are practically for free.
They're points.
No, I received
whatever.
I wrote a song for Judith Sepuma, and I got the royalties last week.
Yes.
And it's 13 rand.
Yes.
You see, so
and it's probably played a lot
of times, but
yeah.
it's 13 rand. So can you imagine if I had put the entire catalog in there, and then I get 13 rand here, 3 rand 40 there, and so on, how am I expected to live? So, but I don't want us to focus on that whining part of things. I want us to develop our own digital platform. If we had Emma Gate who did Please Call Me, this country can afford it.
Yes, yes.
So for a lot of people, it doesn't matter,
but
as long as they can access your music. So you satisfy two things. You satisfy access, that people can access you,
yes.
and you and you satisfy the second one, which is reach, that people can reach you all over the world.
Yes.
But at what cost? You see,
yes.
I am in this thing. It's a business. And if it's not a business, then we might as well just go and do it at the corner of the street and let people record you and let them make money with you rather than you making the money. This is the biggest investment of one's soul.
It's a lifetime. Yeah.
So we will get it right.
But now, you know, tell me, because like now you are celebrating 25 years.
Yes.
This is the 25th live Free Kibo
recording
and show. Wouldn't it be worth maybe doing like a vinyl print box set?
Wow.
You know, this is what you want to do. Keep it, because I imagine like... With each show you've done, you've released the album.
Yes.
But there's limited copies.
Yes.
And so even these World Show family that were writing to me on social media now saying, please ask him this. You know, if they weren't there 22 years ago, maybe they're still young, whatever, they don't know. It was that limited edition that you released.
That's right.
Would there ever be, you know, the concept of releasing it on physical copies that maybe a reprint?
Yes. We've got it. We were lucky enough because when we invested in
You could make a lot of money. In demand.
Yeah, so they're in demand. So on the 23rd of November, when people come to the show, they will find we've got the big hampers from the first.
Oh, really? You have 25th. A box set?
Yes, we've got a box set. You've got everything.
Amazing.
DVDs, CDs. All of that in one.
So even more reason that you've got to get to the Market Theatre.
To the State Theatre.
The State Theatre on the 23rd
of
November.
On the 23rd of November.
If you've been wondering how you can get your copy of a Free Kibo album, there's no excuse anymore.
Yeah, please come there because we are definitely dealing with this thing. And I have no doubt that Minister Gayton McKenzie will be able to come to the party on this one because he really, in terms of his disposition and the way he has been gaining traction in his post, he and as a businessman himself, he will hear me out on this one.
Yes.
Yeah, I have absolute confidence that he will hear me out on this one because there is no way a country as great as South Africa can really be excited about things. I mean, I heard now that Gallo, for example, is working flat out to digitize literally everything they've ever recorded.
They are, yes.
Yes. So you can imagine.
They're once going right into the archives.
They go into the archives. And so when we have, you know, a company like that digitizing, but yet South Africa does not have digital platform that can say to the world, wow, look at us, this is South Africa, this is who we are. So we've got to move to that. And any really right-thinking executive authority as a minister would really find this quite appealing. I mean, to say, wow, for the first time, let us get it right once and for all. Because we're itching. We want to get our music out there.
Well, that's the other thing, Selo. I mean, there are people in Joburg that can come to the State Theatre.
That's correct.
To buy the box set or to buy an individual.
But somebody from Senegal,
somebody even from Cape Town
So we really need to get this out there because we believe in it. Because this is where we are.
Yes.
The fourth industrial revolution. We've got to move with the times. But we've got to move responsibly and we've got to move right.
Yes.
Yes.
No, it's a very good thinking. But now listen. Each Free Kibo performance is unique.
Absolutely.
Do you work thematically with each of these performers? Does each year have its own theme?
That's right. I mean, if you look at every album, just somewhere on top there, you see you would have
one, 24. What was 24?
Well, basically because we're doing 24 to raise funds for a school in Seshego called Kaiso. So the focus was more on education. And you know what happened? They reciprocated beautifully. Actually, it was even before that. They named the entire library, laboratory block, right down, the science block, right down. They named it after me. They call it
beautiful.
Dr. Selo Galane Resource Center.
Beautiful.
So what?
But that's legacy, doesn't it?
You know
that,
what I mean?
Doesn't that warm your heart?
It does warm my heart quite a lot. So after they did that, we said to them, we will do a concert in your honor.
Yes.
Because that's where I taught, you know, when I was a teacher. That's where I met Judith Sipuma.
Okay.
She was my student at that school.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
That's right.
Yes.
She was a student at that school. That's when we first met. I don't remember teaching Judith music because we didn't have music there. But I taught them literary arts.
Yes.
And then when young people wrote short plays and so on, and I was told there's a young girl here who sings at Brenda Fassie's every festival when they're here in Limpopo. And but then it was not Limpopo, it used to be just you know, it was Leboa, something like that. So, and then I looked for her in class and I called her. And interesting enough, because I've always been this person who is unconventional in my approach. When I was a teacher, I never stayed in the staff room at all.
Yes.
Yeah, because I needed to interact more with students and so on. So that's why I didn't stay long. I only taught for 3 years and I left.
I never realized you were teaching at a school, actually.
I taught at a school.
I mean, I knew you were a teacher later when it came to music.
Yes, yes.
But I never knew that.
No, I taught at a school that did not even have the arts because the curriculum did not allow the arts.
In fact, the apartheid government took, I think that was a very strategic move on the apartheid government.
Yeah, just to kill that
part. To kill the creative thinking.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
you erase the identity of a people, they can run like empty tins, it's fine.
Exactly.
You know?
And also, I think the arts, I think in terms of education, the arts are so important for what can I say, allowing whole human beings.
Exactly.
Because even if you're going to be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, it's the ability to think creatively that the arts teach.
That's what people do not realize, that companies fold.
Yes.
You know, companies that do tires, that do Mack wheels, that do aeroplanes and whatever, they fold because they've run out of creativity.
Yes.
The CEO, not really for them to be able to make an engine, but the creative way of running a business.
Yes.
When things get
tough.
That's
the thing.
It's
a to teach our children the arts makes it's a holistic approach.
Yes. How do you beautifully respond to a difficult situation?
Yes.
You know?
Because isn't art about that?
It's about
you
that.
You know, when I used to teach art as well, drawing, that was my background. And I used to say, give somebody a piece of paper and a pencil.
Mm.
Draw a line. Mm. Now you've created a problem that you've got to solve. Where are you going to put the next line?
Yes.
Where are you going to texture?
Yes.
And each time you're making a decision to solve it, and that's part of the creative
that's
process.
What art is about. Visual arts, you know, line, it's a fundamental principle. I mean, once you've drawn a line, you've started creating something.
The same with music.
Yes.
You start with a little a little melody.
You've got
or
to finish
a few
it.
Words. Or, exactly.
And you've got to build all
and
the rhythm
and you've got to find how
it.
To solve that or how to enhance that.
Yes, because then a song can't... Songs like Pula are unique songs because... Do you know, when we did Pula, we finished, and then I did not even realize, when people asked me, what is this secret behind the success of the song? And I'd never thought about it, because it came to me, it is a stream of consciousness that sprouted forth from my inner. I was just expressing what was inside me, but it in itself, it worked itself out in such a way that if you listen to the vocals, they all come in unison. There's no soprano, alto, tenor.
Yes.
They all sing in one voice. And that is the greatest hallmark of simplicity that defines humankind. And I started understanding why people can, in a march, they can march for 10, 15, 20 kilometers without getting tired. And when I listened to people marching, I realized they all sing in one voice.
Yes.
Either just some singing the same notes, octave higher, and some sing them lower. But there's no harmony. It's just one voice. And that's what builds solidarity.
It's the strength of that collective.
It's the strength of that collective. Because then soprano, alto, tenor, bass can get to that. That chordal structure gets to divide people, because then we can look at you funny and say, but you're not singing the right notes. But when we all sing the same notes, we all sing the right notes.
Yes.
You see?
Now, you spoke about that a little bit earlier. And in fact, I wanted to ask you about that when you were talking about Pula and the making of it.
Yes.
in many ways, and from knowing your work, there is, like, I wanted to know a little bit more about that process, because it seems to me that it is a spirit-guided process, if I can put it that way.
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much so. I mean, I, you know, from the time I started writing 25 years ago for my solo career, because I've been working with Slylo, and we were working with other people when we were at UCT and before then and in Seshego. So I've never had time to stop and play back, because you can imagine. I was thinking about this actually. I was driving here. I wake up in the middle of the night or somewhere at any time. There's this song that is in my head. It's full. You hear piano, you hear drums, you hear
the whole composition.
Yes. So you've got to sneak out of bed. Make sure that you do not have any sound. Nobody coughs around. Nothing. Even when you open the door to go into another room, either the study or you go to where you make music, and or further down into the living room, and you close the door. And then, because you've got to play the rhythm that you hear, you've got to play on top of.
Nothing must disturb that. Yes. You know? It's still in the subconscious.
Yes, it's complete in the subconscious. It's a song. So you play the rhythm where it is located in this composition. You sing the melodies where they are, the backings you sing, and then if you hear where the guitar moves, you also sing it. You hear the bass line, and then if there's a saxophone somewhere, you sing it. If there are shakers, you sing all of it, and you go back to sleep. You don't know what you've just recorded. You've recorded it.
Yes. It's there. Yes.
In the morning, you can't remember it. You don't even have a clue whether it was fast, slow.
So when you say you recorded it, are you physically recording or are you writing it?
No, you've got to record it.
Yes.
Because you can only write after.
Okay.
Because if you've got to write, writing has a limitation that you've got to write one part, then you go back.
Then you've forgotten yes.
See, so you, and people don't understand that the transcription, it's actually a transference of the sonic element of the song to the graphic on paper. So the paper does not presuppose the song. The song presupposes what finally gets recorded for other people. Because once you write it down, you're actually prepared now to share it with other people who would want to play it.
Yes.
You see, but if you want to share it with the people who want to listen to it, then you've got to make sure that it's available in audio.
Beautiful. But this certainly is for me, you know, and especially when I think about the Kibo music, its roots, your father. This is deeply spiritual. I don't know how else to
yes,
say.
Yes, I mean, you know, I was thinking about it as I was coming in. Yes. I was saying to myself, there's a concept of stream of consciousness. You know, that is, the minute you switch and lock onto that spiritual realm, your ID doesn't matter. Your physical address doesn't matter. Your qualifications don't matter.
Yes.
You've got to listen to this thing. It is the one that takes over your life, your consciousness, and then you've got to deliver it. Otherwise, you'll never be able to forgive yourself, because you will tell yourself, that was such a great song. But there is no way through your mortal imagination that you can ever recall it. It is gone. So you can imagine, for 25 years of my life, 24/7, you have to stay present in your body, mind, and soul. You've got to be able to hear yourself thinking, hear yourself feeling, hear yourself dealing with issues. 360. There's never a moment that must pass and you kind of put yourself aside or put yourself beside yourself. You've got to be in the moment all the time. Otherwise, a moment comes when a song like Bula drops in your consciousness as you are walking, and you've got to quickly run. Then it was bad, man. We didn't have cell phones quickly record.
Yes.
You know, if you go into you'll see, as I drive to the studio, there's a song that comes. I'm thinking I'm going to rehearse these songs.
Yes.
I'm driving to the studio. There is this song that comes, and then I've got to play it, sing it, play on the steering, you know, and find something that represents either the snare or pull over the car. Yeah, pull over the car and But sometimes I don't want to disturb the flow because something that triggered this thing could have been the humming, you know, sound of the wheels or the engine.
Yes.
You see, so as it continues, then somewhere this continuous melody has got to be interrupted by something, you know. Then something has got to kick in, say, and I'm hitting everywhere on the windows, on the dashboard, anything that produces a different sound. You know, I already
know. The car that hooted when it drove past.
Yeah, and they think, and people have, as they drive past, they think I am dancing to a song that's playing on the radio. But no, I'm dancing to the song that is yet to be born.
Yes, it's and coming then, from spirit. Yes.
And then from then on, we when I arrive and we work on it, and then, wow, 9 out of 10 times, it becomes a greater song than I had imagined because the musicians I work with, they know how strict I am about lines. Once I give you a line, you stay with it. So most of the musicians that were not quite disciplined, most of them were offloaded from the band. But we're working now with musicians. If you give them a line today and you say, let's start this song all over again, they'll play exactly the same lines. You break it for 3 days, 4 days, you come back again. They stay exactly. It's like a record.
Yes.
You know? And now we've got these musicians that are so disciplined that you trust them with everything you have. Because you can imagine, 3 weeks ago, we started rehearsing for the 20th of November.
Yes.
Completely new material. We went and did Slow Chile, the festival in Tembisa a couple of weeks ago, and then we hit the road again, and then we got the deal to do Mapungubwe Festival as well. We're doing that on the 14th of December.
Oh, good.
Yes, and then we're back again. We're rehearsing for the State Theatre, so it's quite a hectic program.
Yes.
So we're doing all of these things. So we rehearsed. We finished the program. We rehearsed as though when we were going to Slow Chile, that's the music we're going to play.
Yes.
We finished the running order, the links, how each song starts, how it links to the next one.
Yes.
I work all of that before I call the first rehearsal. I do not, I don't want musicians' inputs into this song because they do not have an idea of the whole organic element of it. I write for every part.
Yes.
And where it comes in, where it pauses. And like Marcus Miller, when he did work for it was a musical director, he then got Eric Gale to play 3 notes continuously. He said, can you play these 3 chords and play these 3 notes, play these 3 chords, play these 3 notes for Al Jarreau. You audition Eric Gale, and then Eric Gale played those notes and nothing else.
Yes.
And then he said, oh man, listen to this, man. I mean, this is so crisp. This is discipline. I mean, he didn't even want to add other things. No. He played exactly what they said he must play for all the time they said, keep on playing. So I work with musicians with that level of discipline. And I'm so grateful, you know, under the sun, you know, to be given such great talent. I mean, the young people, Tiro Mashile, the alto saxophonist. I mean, this young man tells me he's never played with any band before.
Wow.
I said, no, man. When I saw you were playing at Bob Mabena's funeral. I saw him on TV. I said, this young man, I'm looking for this young man.
Yes.
Tiro Mashile.
Was he playing solo?
He was playing with a couple of musicians. That who came into
jam session.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he played, and then I looked for him and then people referred to me to him. They gave me his number. It took me a year before I could call him because spiritual compositions and all of that, you've got to arrive at the right time.
Yes.
You've got to be there to perform HOT at the right time. When he arrived, after I'd worked with Ricky Sakale for over 15, 18 years, and he arrived, and he blew a storm. I mean, it's this young man, he takes a solo when we're in the studio and he's sitting here. But by the time he finishes a solo, he has moved with a chair without wheels to another side of to another side of the rehearsal room. He's that kind of a passionate young man. So, I mean, we're working with, there's a drummer, this drummer, I worked with his brother, and then he left and went and worked with Ringo, and then he was still a baby.
Yes.
And then he came, surprised Mshwana, and I still cannot believe that this young man, who had never played with big names, can handle this music with the kind of exactitude like he has got a metronome in his ears. The level of discipline that you've got. There's a pianist called Baba Skhosana. Skhosana Ntokozo, disciplined music teacher, disciplined pianist. He has come through the ranks with me. I think we've got close to 10 years working together. He is such a disciplined pianist. I mean, I could skate anything to him. Yes. I mean, all of them.
Yes.
I could skate anything to him. He will play it exactly.
But this, for me, brings me back to the point, and we're going to have to unfortunately close now. Yes. I'll speak to you forever. The Free Cuba movement of Dr. Sello Galani is also a university.
It is.
It is.
It is. I mean, I have worked with anybody who is anybody in this country. I can count. We'll start from Slilo, Lawrence Machiza. You can come all the way. I mean, you can count anyone who's anyone in this. Solomon Tweedi, Jimmy Mkwandi. You know, you can come. Yes. Prince Lingwasa.
Luyanda Madope.
Luyanda Madope.
Everyone I speak to.
They all appear in this album.
At some point.
At some point. But they will all tell you that, I mean, the last time I spoke to, but who's the bassist who used to work with Hugh Masekela?
From South Africa.
Yeah.
Who was working with Brahu?
For the longest time. I mean, yes. I just slipped my mind. He says to me, Brafana Zulu, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fana says,
the legend.
Yes, the legend. He says, man, I want to come and visit you, but I don't want to come with my bass. I want you just to come so that you just help me with clapping of the hands and choosing the rhythms and understanding where you come
beautiful.
From. Lawrence Machiza, before he passed on, he said to me, yeah, man. We were rehearsing for Live at M1. He says, yeah, man. And don't you have a back room at your place? I just want to come and see. I just want to see how you're thinking. Because the way I construct the compositions, it's I don't use any format that was ever used before.
Yes.
Yeah. The same song we've just played now, you might, it feels easy on the ear.
Yes.
But call everybody who ever played the song. Then they realize for the first time they never thought about music this way.
Yes.
Yeah, it is that kind of a thing. So as we prepare for the 23rd of November at the State Theatre, 25th anniversary, I mean, it doesn't come
huge.
Easy.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Quarter of a century.
Century, you know. And then we're presenting a repertoire of that. We'll have one or two. I always, every year, have one or two surprise guests. We normally don't announce them because then they just build the show up to that level.
Yes,
yes, but we will definitely have one or two.
Can't wait.
Yes.
Make sure you get your tickets. Tickets are already available,
yes,
I imagine. Web tickets.
That's right.
You've got to be at this. It's not just a Free Cuba event. It's the 25th.
It's the 25th
This is an anniversary one.
Of 350 compositions.
Wow, Sello.
Yeah, you can imagine we choose the best of the best. But the album you've just played Pula from, we normally play the entire or at least 80% of the album in the second set.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, and then in the first set, then we select here and there and everywhere else, and then we do new compositions as well. So this year is 25th anniversary. We're having a treat, and we're in the drama. The drama has got a big stage. It's got lifts. That's exactly where the idols were actually performing from the State Theatre.
Okay.
It's the same stage.
The big stage.
The big stage.
And of course, go along so that you can get your own copy of these amazing
albums.
Or the
entire collection of about 24.
Collection.
Yeah.
24, because this 25th will only come after the event. Free Akiba Selo Galani, Dr. Selo Galani, thank you for joining us. We're going to end off with a track, Hantoko Ontoko, off Free Akiba 24.
That's right.
Yeah, and this one just brings so much joy.
Oh, thank you. It means small. As our Nigerian brothers are saying, little by little.
Little by little. Thank you, Selo, for doing it little by little.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for honoring us on the World Show and coming along.
And much appreciated.
Yes, and next up is a feature with Jordan Rakay. Don't go anywhere, but before we do that, this one, Hantoko, Hantoko, of Free Kiba 24. And of course, you've got to be at the event.